In ancient Greece, there was an athlete who trained and strained his muscles to be able to throw a discus way further than an average man would be able to do. That when they looked at somebody and they wanted to see who could throw the discus the furthest, there was one man who was able to do it more than everybody else. Now, this man who did it had trained himself based on generations of discus hurlers. All these people have worked their whole lives throwing discuses, and they tried to figure out the greatest technique to maximize his efforts. How should I throw it? Should I throw it like this? Should I throw it like that? They went on. And the truth is that that guy who originally started the discus throwing, right, it could be that he was a greater athlete than an athlete today who throws a discus. Even though nowadays, maybe you could throw the discus a little bit further, but it could be that there were other factors involved. That guy was a better athlete than the guy is today. It's just a different story. You're living in a different time. This argument has gone on for years. When you deal with athletes, people ask this all the time. Who is the greatest basketball player of all time? Is it Michael Jordan? Is it LeBron James? I don't think there's anybody else. Is there anybody else who is considered the greatest of all time? And in that sense, what do you consider it? They're working at two different times. People have always brought up, you didn't see Oscar Robertson if you're dealing with basketball. You never saw Oscar Robertson play. If you saw Oscar Robertson play, you would have no question that is the greatest player of all time. Or Julius Erving. Or Wilt Chamberlain. Right? If you would have seen them, you would have seen the greatest basketball player of all time. In baseball, Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth, by nowadays standards, is an overweight, no question, an athlete, but an overweight, I don't know, blob. Can you imagine that guy playing? David Ortiz is a great player, but he's fat. So he's not one of the greatest of all time. He can't. Well, what would Babe Ruth be if he was playing nowadays? But you can't really compare when it comes to that, because you can't compare greatness from one generation to the other. You just can't do it. There are monks out there who spend years working on special abilities, working on something, holding their breath for 10 minutes at a time, being able to see behind a card, being able to look at things and be able to concentrate better than anything else. I've heard there's famous musicians, and I'm positive that the guy's Jewish, and famous actors who have trained themselves to hold their breath for 6-7 minutes at a time, which is impossible, but they've done it. They trained themselves, they brought themselves there, and as much as I can hold my breath for a good 7 seconds without any problems whatsoever, right, these guys have trained themselves. 7 minutes, no issues. They're perfectly fine. No questions whatsoever. They're able to hold their breath. It's amazing. It shows the endurance that a body, that the human body has, and what you're able to do. Now, me, personally, I'm out of shape. Although, in theory, I am athletic, right, but I'm out of shape. I have no real technique when it comes to playing basketball, playing baseball, throwing discuses, that definitely not. But I have no real technique when it comes. But I can tell you this, if I would press a button on a machine, right, just take a machine that would hurl discuses, and that's what the machine did, I guarantee you I could shoot a discus further than any of the greatest athletes combined. You put all of them together. Just give me that machine and I guarantee you I'd be able to do it. See, you can put me up against the greatest boxer in the world, the strongest man. You can let me do that. Just give me a gun. I'm going to defeat him. I'll be fine. I have no question I am going to win this fight. There's no question. I've always loved those movies when you see the guys fighting, they have no gun, but everybody else there has a gun. And somehow they knock the gun out of everyone's head. That's not going to happen. He's going to die. Within seconds, he's going to die. Of course it's going to happen, because I don't even need any miracles. I don't need a miracle to happen for me. I just need to take a little bit of modern equipment. That's all I need. Give me a gun. Give me anything. I will defeat anyone out there. I am, therefore, the most powerful man of all time. You think you can breathe? You can go 6 minutes without a breath? Oh, yeah? Well, I could put on a little mask. And with that mask and a little thing in the back, I could hold my breath for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I could go underwater. I'll be able to do things you couldn't even imagine you could do. You just have to give me a little bit more. So what does that mean about me? Does that mean that I'm the most powerful man in the world? No. It just means that I'm a modern schlepper. A schlepper with good modern equipment. That's really what I am. So a schlepper without modern equipment is not Superman. That isn't. So who is Superman? Who is that Superman, that man that we look at and we say, that man is the most powerful man? Who is he? What defines a person as a Superman? What should make a person into that? So here's the deal. Anyone who has developed discipline within themselves, determination within themselves, and a focus a focus that allows them to do something, can withstand serious challenges. He can withstand trials that you can't imagine, tribulations, nisyonos, we'll call it. If you concentrate, you could do anything. And that person would be considered an Olympian, without a question. An Olympian physically and sometimes even mentally. However, as much as he has developed himself, as much as he has gotten himself to do the maximum, to work on himself physically to the maximum, he still has not shattered the limits of what human beings can do. He hasn't gone beyond that level. See, a Superman should be beyond a human ability. Somebody that's able to do something which a normal human can't. I can go 6 minutes. A person, a human being, can go 6 minutes without breathing. Without breathing, without taking a breath. That's possible. That's not going beyond the abilities of a human being. That is making yourself stronger. The strength of a real Superman is to go beyond the limits of humanity and to be able to go beyond the limits of mortality and to become greater than any human being can imagine themselves to be. That's what it is. That's what it's like. You want to be a Superman, you want to be beyond it. That's the idea. His strength is conquering his evil inclination. When the inclination is telling you do this, it inclines you to be in a certain way where natural ability-wise, this is what the person's going to do. There's no way to get out of it. You find yourself, you're able to go on and do something more. Now, if that happens in a physical sense or in a one-act pony where one time I was able to defeat the Yetzirah, well, you know what? People may even talk about that. They may go on and they say, wow, listen to this, what this guy did once. He was able to do this. And it might even make your funeral. It might even make your funeral when you pass away at the age of 120. Your family will talk about that one incident that you were able to do, that one great thing that was there. But the act is then gone. It was a physical act. You were able to overcome, but then it's gone. Let's say, for example, you see somebody that's stuck underneath a truck. You see him stuck underneath the truck, and this has happened. And a person runs over, and with adrenaline, he runs up to the truck and sees he's got to save this person. And he gets up and he lifts up the truck. The person's able to get themselves out, right? And then he puts the truck down. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's within human ability. It's happened before, right? It's within the human ability for a person to be able to do that. But that's all it is. The act remains there. They didn't change the temperature of the world. It didn't change the spiritual component of anything in this world. All it did was, it took a person, a human being, and made him into a great human being. A better human being. An Olympian. That's what this guy is. He's an Olympian. He's able to pull a truck with his teeth. He's able to show muscle upon muscle upon muscle. But that's it. The act is gone after that happens. His family is going to look back fondly and say, wow, what a person. He was truly great. But they're not going to want to be like him. They're not going to act like him. No matter how strong a person becomes, that doesn't necessarily mean their kids are going to be the same way. It always goes back to that line. And I watched part of the Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech. I don't know if anybody watched it when he was first inducted into the Hall of Fame. Where Michael Jordan looked at his kids and he said, I would never want to be you guys. You have so much to live up to. Which told you everything you need to know about Michael Jordan. Everything. That's like a Donald Trump line. That is an unbelievable line to be able to say. But also tells you, the kids didn't want to be like their dad. Because they could have. They could have worked as hard as their father did. They probably have the same abilities inherent within them. But they didn't. They didn't work as hard as they did. Why? Because they didn't necessarily want to be like their father. Just one act, one bit of greatness does not mean that it's going to pass on to the next generation. We, however, as Jews, even at the age of 13, can do one mitzvah. And the action that you do, that mitzvah that you do, has such an unbelievable effect on the world. That one mitzvah, one time that you benched, one time that you put on tefillin, one time that you did that one mitzvah, look at what it can do. It can affect everything. The whole world can be different because you did this. That changes everything. You want to be a super person, a superman? The way to become a superman is just to simply put, do what the Torah says to do and affect the world. You can do everything from it. You can affect your own kids from it. You can make them into people by doing a mitzvah properly. It's ki'ilu, it's so to speak, you are taking not just a physical person and doing something great, it's not even with the ability to have a gun to be able to add on to what I'm doing. It's not that. It's beyond our normal abilities. I am able to affect, I am able to stop a hurricane in Sri Lanka if I wanted to. I don't even know that I'm doing it. But just sitting there and learning, sitting there and putting on tefillin, saying things properly, this is able to make these things happen. There was a story last year where there was a huge Category 5 hurricane that was supposed to hit the western coast of Mexico. It was maybe going to go up, but it was hitting like the Baja of Mexico, right by that west side, right over there. It was supposed to hit. You know what they did? The people of Mexico are very religious. They made a day fast. Like in the Gemara Tainis, they made a fast. And everybody got together, they got in their churches, and they davened all day long. All day long. And the Category 5 hurricane, which was, every weather channel had it down, like what's going to be, it's going to destroy this entire area, everything's going to be gone, became a Category 1 storm. Category 1 storm. Now, I'm not saying that their prayers are what did it. It's possible. Even if they're praying to the wrong person, right? It's possible. But the point is that you can do something unbelievable. You know what it might have been? It might have also been there was one from Jew who heard about their plight and davened in Chicago and said, I hope that that hurricane doesn't kill anyone. And that one tefillah stopped the hurricane. It doesn't have to be them. It could be us. That's our ability. This is what super means. The word super comes from the word supra. It's a Latin word that means beyond natural limitations. And that's what you're able to do. You can be that way. This 13-year-old has the ability to do it without special kavanah, without any real intent, without any real knowledge of his abilities. He's a simple Jew. This is not a Talmud Chacham. This is not the Gra at the age of 13. It's a regular 13-year-old kid. It's a high school kid. It's the kids that you see at lunch that you hate. It's those kids. They have more abilities than anybody, than any Olympian. They can do so many great things. How did they get such powers? The answer is simple, says the Nefesh HaChaim, from the existence of the Beis HaMikdash and from Matan Torah. Matan Torah, I think we understand. And the Nefesh HaChaim starts off his whole Sefer with this idea. The commandment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Torah, the abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put inside the Torah, we don't have to do anything. And automatically we're affecting the heavenly realms. We're making things happen. We're forcing Malachim to do our bidding. We're making the world follow what we have through our inherent connection with the Torah itself, through our abilities, from the fact that we just commanded and accepted the Torah every morning, just being Makabel O Malchus Shemayim and saying Shema Yisrael. That's it. We are in control. We have systematic control over everything in this physical world, more potent than any person out there. Anybody. Meaning, you could have a president of the United States who has a red button that in theory can press it and make nuclear bombs go off. We can cause the president to not press the button. We have the ability to stop him from doing it before he ever does it. It's an amazing Gemara. It's in Bava Metzia. And those who are, it might take you a little bit to get there. But on Pei Gimel, it mentions about Reb Chiya and Reb Chanina. Reb Chiya and Reb Chanina were fighting with one another. And Reb Chiya and Reb Chanina were fighting. Reb Chanina said, you're fighting with me, Reb Chiya? You're going to fight with me? If Chas V'Shalom, the Torah was ever forgotten, I would be able to bring back the entire Torah with my own pilpul. My mind is so powerful, said Rabbi Chanina, I could bring back the entire Torah. I could come up with every concept with my own head without any sources. I could figure it all out on my own. So how could you fight with me? To which Rabbi Chiya said, you're fighting with me? I'll make sure that the Torah is never forgotten because I'm going to plant seeds. I'm going to make the flax grow. I'm going to make nets out of that flax. I'm going to trap deer. I'm going to shech the deer. I'm going to take the skin. I'm going to work the hide into a cloth. I'm going to write down a Sefer Torah. Then I'm going to give the Sefer Torah to Bachrim. And those Bachrim, I'm going to sit and I'm going to teach them the Chamisha Chumshi Torah and the Shisha Sidra Mishnah. And I'll make sure that the Torah is never forgotten. Which one's greater? The one who has unbelievable mental abilities? The one who has the capacity to be able to bring back the entire Torah? Or Reb Chiya, who was able to stop it from happening in the first place? The president can press the button, but I could stop the president. By davening, I could make him not do it. He won't even realize. The ruchnius of every mitzvah goes up through that gate of heaven. This is the dream of Yaakov Avinu. of the ladder, of seeing the malachim going up, the malachim coming down. The idea is that you can watch your tefillahs go up, you can watch your mitzvahs go up. It goes up, and then it comes back down. The sulam is connected to Sinai. Sulam is the gematria of Sinai. They're connected to one another, making things happen in such a way that we can't even imagine. And the Avos, they understood this. Their superhuman efforts, beyond the natural abilities, were not directed at maximizing our strength. It wasn't there to make us greater physically, to make us greater sports players, certainly not, or greater mind capacity people. It wasn't that. That's not what they were there for. There was no technique that they gave us. There was no exceptionalism in anything in particular. What they gave us was something simple. Focus on reaching above nature. Take a mitzvah and do it well. Take two mitzvahs and make sure you do it correctly. 3 weeks ago, we talked about that mitzvah achas, that idea of grabbing that one mitzvah and using that mitzvah for yourself. We talked about the whole concept of mitzvahs 4 weeks ago. Here we're saying we're trying to do, and what the Avos gave us as a calling, is to take a mitzvah and to see what we can do with it, how we're able to affect, how we're able to make things happen, to throw it up, so to speak, and make the hashpa come down the ladder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come down in that ladder itself. Once it was systemized in Matan Torah, once the Avos made it part of our system, now it can be done effortlessly. You don't even have to try. A 13-year-old kid with no kavana can do it, which means certainly a 20, 21, 22-year-old can do it with no effort, little to no effort. And if you put effort toward it, it's even stronger. It's even more powerful. It's not an apparatus. We think of mitzvahs as sort of being like a gun in our hands. We're able to shoot down the demons with it. We're able to knock people down. It is absolutely not, nothing like that. It's beyond anything that you could do. It's not you. It's not your physical abilities. It is not an extension of your physical abilities. It's beyond this world, beyond anything that you can imagine. And therefore, your reach is farther than any person in this world, no matter how powerful, no matter how great, no matter how awesome they are. In summary, the Avos bequeathed to us, they gave us, as the Yerusha, the ability to do these proper mitzvos and to harness the power of these mitzvos automatically without really putting any effort in. It's the equivalent of using electricity, using the most powerful, latest equipment by a billion, by a billion. They were the supermen and they gave us superpowers. And we have to realize that. And the bottom line is, that comes with a lot. I think it's a line, right? The line is, with great power comes great responsibility. Thank you, Dave. Is the line, right? That it comes with it. The line that has been, I don't even know how many times it's been used. We have to start thinking, what do we do with our powers? What are we doing with this? And we go up to Shemayim after 120. What's going to be our excuse? Why didn't we use it properly? Why didn't we think about this? How did we not know? Can you imagine you go up to Shemayim after 120 and they mamish say, remember that hurricane in Mexico? You davened for them once and you weren't even really paying attention. Your davening was pretty bad. It was probably one of the worst davenings we've ever seen before. But you know what? Didn't matter. Because your tefillah was just that powerful that it stopped a Category 5 hurricane and it saved hundreds of lives. And all the Mexicans that were saved, all the hundreds of them, come greeting you in Shemayim, clapping their hands, leading you in. Let's assume they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah, so they're actually in Gan Eden instead of Gehenna. Let's assume that, right? And they come in and they're greeting you. And it's all because of you. You did nothing. Nothing. One time you had them in mind. That's the power that a person is. We should all try to be supermen with that one ability that we have. Let's see what we can do with that. Have a good week.